Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Kinda Funny podcast. New jib move, new me, Andy.
Wow.
We got some lighting effects going on here.
Whoa.
And we got a whole new cast of people. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside Blessing Adioye Jr.
What's up, Nick? How's it going?
It's going well, man. This marks piece number two you and I have done together in 2023.
Oh, yeah, man.
So it's kind of cool. I think we're actually, that might be one more than we did in 2022 together.
Was I talking to you, Roger, about this, about how Nick is probably one of my favorite coworkers because I don't interact with him at all.
it's fun because it's like everything's new between the two of us. Yeah, it's gonna be pretty fun. Of course, over there is joining the podcast for
a few times,
Roger Bacorny. Everyone, round of applause for Roger.
Everybody, give me a round of applause. Not Blessing though.
Nobody claps.
Woo! Yay! Thanks for having me, everybody.
And making his triumphant return to the podcast from last week.
Triumphant.
Was I here last week?
I don't know, man. It's such a blur. We just did a 4-hour speed run of The Last of Us Part Two, and I came straight into this podcast. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But of course, the Rootin' Tootin' Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Mr. Andy Cortez. Andy, is that a new hoodie? New windbreaker?
No. Were there any lessons you learned from that speed run?
I learned a lot of lessons from that speed run. Mostly that I played The Last of Us. That was huge. I did not remember that. I know this game.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of having the half day off. We did a marathon stream on Friday up until the wee hours of 2 in the morning. And then yesterday on Sunday, recorded a review for a video game. So I said, I'm going to take the half day off. And Barrett was also at home. And Barrett said, the funniest thing about this Last of Us speedrun is that Nick is reacting to moments in the game as if it's the first time he's ever seen them, even though he's played the game before on content.
A couple things about that, Barrett. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today on this storied podcast.
Illustrious.
One, I'm an entertainer, okay? Yep. I could have played that game 15 times. Watch this. Ready, guys? Everyone, close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes, okay? This is the talent. I know you guys haven't been to L.A. before. I know you guys don't know. You don't understand how magic works, really. Right. But sometimes here, you got to reach deep down, and you have to react to something like you've never seen it before. Everyone out there, close your eyes. Jossie G in the chat, close your eyes. Jake Stapp, close your eyes. Woo! That was incredible. Did you see that? I knew that was coming because it was going to come out of my mouth.
Gotcha. Come on, yeah. Christ, so you were faking it. You were faking it.
100%. I was faking it. I was faking it like I do everything here lately. And at home.
How much did you guys not believe in the speed run? Because when it was brought up this morning, we were doing the Last of Us HBO review. And Tim starts talking about it. He starts talking about James Burke, who I know James Burke. I have a lot of confidence in James Burke, the human being. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know he's a man of many talents and many platinums. But as Tim was pitching the idea of James Burke doing this 3-hour Last of Us speedrun, internally, I was like, there is so much that's about to go wrong.
Absolutely. So much.
There is no way this man is about to beat The Last of Us in 3 hours. And like, I had left to go do another piece of content in the middle of the day at the start of the stream. And when I got back, it was what, like an hour and a half in, 2 hours in, and I looked at the screen and you guys were in winter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, you guys are more than halfway through the game.
It was very impressive. It was one of those things where like you say 3 hours goes by just like that. And then I remember how long it took me to play that game in like 4 sessions. Yeah. And it was very impressive, everyone. You guys can actually probably go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames right now and check that out. I'm sure that playthrough is live, but that's not what we're watching right now.
I also think about people getting mad at you for there's a very, very poignant moment on scene. I forget the exact moment that's happening in The Last of Us.
It's Beans.
Heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. It's destroying people's souls. And this is Nick's first time experiencing it. And him and Greg are having a conversation about the canned beans. And everybody in the Twitch chat is like, shut the fuck up and listen to what's happening on screen, for Christ's sake.
I'll be honest with you guys. There are very few emotionally impactful moments for me in games. I don't get invested in them like you guys.
The beans were number one.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but when me and Greg get together, we don't take shit seriously. And I know The Last of Us is a very, very much beloved game, and those emotional beats hit for you, good for you guys. But for me, when I'm goofing around with Greg, playing over, I died a bunch of times. Sure. It's a whole rigmarole. I'm not really invested in this. We'll say, though, the HBO show.
Real good.
It's slapping.
You've been watching it.
It's good. Oh, yeah. I've been watching it. Not sure why I didn't get invited to do the recap.
I don't know why I got invited.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Tim knows I don't like waking up early, and you guys have to do that at 9:30 in the morning.
Sure.
I think the fact that it leads into Games Daily is why that crew, and also it's the PlayStation crew, it's the last.
I'm being facetious. I know exactly why. It's because Tim would have been like, Nick, what do you think the difference is between the show and the thing? And I'd be like, did I play this one? Was this one of the ones that I played?
Is this the one that I did?
But you guys are on episode 2. Everyone can check that out over on youtube.com/kindoffunny as well. If you're listening to this podcast services, I believe we're putting that out as a podcast as well, if I'm not mistaken. It's a screencast. So it's going to be on our screencast feed. Very, very good. And we could talk about that in a little bit. But of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where three, sometimes four best friends gather on this table each, bringing some topics to shoot the shit with. I want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, without whom none of this could be possible. We got Jake Combs, Nathan Lamothe, Monica Boomenlog, DJ Canto on Twitch, Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Hugadel, Casey Andrews, and that is it. You guys are incredible. If you guys want to be patrons of us, guess what? This show is brought to you today by patreon.com/kindoffunny. You guys can go over there and back us. You get all sorts of cool perks, and guess what? It helps keep these incredible LED lights on. We very much appreciate you guys for that. In housekeeping news, that bomber jacket, that sick, nasty bomber jacket, coming back, making its way back to the store tomorrow. Everyone, go check out kindoffunny.com/store, and you too can look just like Tim Geddes, if that's your goal. Take that statement to mean whatever you think it needs to mean. Andy, how you feeling after the stream on Friday?
I'm feeling great. I don't know if I got... I did my first COVID test. That's not true. My first COVID test this year.
Okay.
And I was negative.
Just for fun?
I was negative. No, I started feeling like I was coming down with something. But I feel, like, better now. But there was... I think maybe we overdid it. Maybe it was a mixture of all the terrible shit we were eating that day. We had... one of the funnest streams we've ever had. Like, just the amount of laughing, the amount of things that were revealed, the amount of stories that happened. Kevin talked about how him playing Breath of the Wild led to a real heart-to-heart moment between the founders and him, of being like, hey man, we know you do a lot for this company, but you gotta stop playing this video game while on the clock.
That's true. No. Let's call this what it was. It was moments where he was playing it while he was producing the podcast. I would look over and he'd be just back on his Switch being like, yeah, a damn good game. Yeah.
These are in the wee hours of the night where we are just past the point of being like, we are so delirious. We are everything's making us laugh extra hard. And Kevin's like having trouble even getting the sentence out because of how hard he's laughing. And he's like, I like to think that I pour my heart out for this company, but that was a good while where I would just lean back and I was like, you know what? I would notice that. He goes, yeah, you would, because the camera would be on the wrong shot.
Yeah.
Supposed to be running the show. And then I said, you know what? There was this moment that I revealed to Chad. I was like, there was a moment where Kevin and I had a bit of an argument at one point, because he was running Games Daily, I believe, and he's running Games Daily in quotes, but he's just like fully almost 180 degree laid back with his feet up on the desk.
Yeah,
the old
executive chair that he had, which is like high backed.
And I took a photo of him and posted it on Instagram, and like just some sarcastic comment or whatever. And Kevin legitimately walked up to me and was like, hey man, don't fucking do that, dude. Like, I don't like that you did that. And I was like, oh shit, my bad. I didn't really know. And then Kevin goes, no, the reason why I got so mad about it was that, like, I knew I had a problem.
You don't understand. I can't control this. He was like,
I'm
trying to seek help.
He was like, Greg and Tim and Nick hadn't talked to me about my problem yet. So this was like I was kind of like, I didn't want to admit to myself that I had a problem. And we were just laughing so hard during this whole stream.
I know. I left hilarious. At 7. I had to go over to a show. We did Shit Arcade, and shout out to everyone that came out to that for Sketchfest last weekend. And I came back in at 1:15 in the morning because you savages out there, you guys gave us enough money to go till 2 a.m. in the morning. And I get there. I don't know how this works, but every time I go back into Icarus, this mansion that you guys have built just gets bigger and crazier. And of course, Joey, because she is my biggest saboteur here at this company, she is the person at this company that wants to see me succeed the least, hacked my account.
It's unbelievable.
I could not log back into Icarus to come frag out with you guys in Icarus, but I was enjoying watching you guys go till 2 a.m. in the morning. That was fun.
Yeah, for those of y'all that don't know, we got really into a survival game called Icarus. It started off as a sponsored stream for NVIDIA, and then we got really hooked on it, and we knew that me, Nick, and Micah, as the stream team, wanted to have a game that we could always go back to, and we were just tired of doing, like, the open a new survival game, play it for 3 hours, open another one, play it for 3 hours, and never really stick into one thing. So we got really, really into it, and I'm hoping we want to, like, talk to Roger about editing some stuff out from that, because there was a night of hell where everything was going totally smoothly, and the next thing you know, Mike is dead, and there's a bear and three alligators in our house, and I'm on the roof, and Mike is like, maybe you just wait out the night, because I can't, and I'm like, I have no weapons, I need to, it was a nightmare. It
At
was
one
an
moment,
absolute disaster.
This wasn't the same time, but there was another moment playing this game where I was out here doing some stuff, because we had a sponsored stream that was happening in here, and I just get Andy comes up, we have, like, you know, it's very, very professional here. Andy comes up behind me, very reserved, and he goes, Nick, I'm going to need you to log into Steam real quick and come save us. We're both dead, and we don't want to relive the game. So I had to log back into my Icarus account, jump in, save you guys, and then they just hid me in the corner of our building for the rest of the time.
We build back better, dude.
We build back better.
What is Icarus? I have no idea what this game is.
Persistent survival.
So Icarus...
Is it like an MMO type deal? Like, are there random people, or is it just the people that are...
Icarus is by the creator of DayZ.
Okay.
Explains.
And it started off as this game where you would just drop down into, you would select different missions, and you'd have this gigantic map, and it'd be like, go place these three beacons in the world, and you get XP, and you have an XP tree where you can kind of make your character use less or have a bigger stamina bar, blah blah blah, all the stuff, the harvest faster, things like that. But then you have another tree that, like, you can build more and more shit. So you start off just making fucking iron sickles, and by the time you know it, you're making oxidizers that help replenish your oxygen. You're making you get to the point where later on in these tech trees you can build electricity and have, like, fully functional everything. Like, you start off, like, with caveman technology, and you're getting to the point where our stuff is getting a bit more advanced, and it's really exciting. But then recently the problem with it was the worlds weren't persistent. So if you drop down and you went to a mission and you built a big ass compound and had this cool ass base, the moment you left it, that world is gone.
You had to rebuild everything.
So they recently added a persistence update where it's like everything stays, and Mike got in his Duffy and built us, like, the biggest fucking compound for our little base, and we have a little station for our buffaloes. Mike got a bison that we named Bryson, and I got a buffalo that Jacek helped me.
What did you name your
Chad
buffalo?
Helped me name Mark Ruffalo. Buffalo.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, good.
And everything is all great, and suddenly, next thing you know, I'm on the roof of our place. Everybody's dead, and I'm getting notifications saying Mark Buffalo has been killed by alligator. Everybody, like, these alligators just came to our place, and, like, they left notes in our houses, and we're like, "Hey, you took our land."
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're taking it back. It was really, really bad, but, like, it's been an absolute blast to kind of it's been like a good character study, you know.
Yeah,
like, will you leave your friends behind if you're trying to get gold and iron and stuff like that?
Yeah,
so.
Mike, so here's a fun last sticker story. We can keep talking about it, but this I want to tell us first. Chris Anka joins us to help guide us through some stuff. And you have to go into caves to get ore, like, you get gold, platinum, all of these precious metals. Do different
they're
things.
They're more
you
dangerous.
Smelt them, right?
The caves are more dangerous.
They got these little worms that come out and spit fire at you. But Mike, we're halfway through mining this cave, and we turn around and Mike's gone. Okay. Like, Mike, where are you going? And he goes, I just told you, Slappy, I'm going back to the base with the stuff. He's like, I told you guys. And Chris is like, you did not tell us that. And he's like, I didn't hear him tell you. Nick, did you hear me talk? I was like, I didn't hear shit. And I was standing right next to him. Mike just decides to take off on his own, but he's over encumbered. So he's walking at a snail's pace. So we all catch up to him very easily and then run past him. And then he starts getting attacked by a bear. And we're like, you know what, Mike? That's what you fucking deserve.
We run past him. We get back to our base and we keep on doing our thing.
And then he starts
yelling 10 minutes later, he's like, I'm still waiting for one of y'all to come get this some shit for me. And he's just walking. he's
slowly walking.
It's incredible.
What an idiot, guys.
It's a very, very fun game. And we hope that Blessing and Raj will eventually join us. Because, like, everybody's been starting to like join the party.
And yeah, I saw Joey start from zero and then just fall in love with it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how people... It takes a really hardcore person to want to play the first iteration of that game. Because I tried. I tried jumping in and doing all the missions. That's how I leveled up to level 21. But the problem is when you die, it just sets you so far back. And every time you land, it's starting from ground zero. So it's cool that they decided to make the world way more... Like, you can just keep going back to it. I think that's really, really smart.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. What shenanigans.
It's been an absolute blast, yeah. To the point where, like, we had this hell night, and we're just, like, so down on ourselves. And some people in chat come in like, hey, what are y'all playing? Mike is like, hey, fuck you. And he's like, I'm sorry. We had a bad night. We all got killed. We all lost our shit. And Mike walks outside.
Yep.
And then lightning strikes him down and kills him.
Oh my God.
And Mike is like, fucking lightning just killed him. it is the fun. Like, oh my God. We were just dying of laughter. And then, yeah. And then I went home around midnight. I was like, dude, my eyes are burning. I need to like get off the computer. I want to go home. I'll join back up with you. And that's what we did. I got back home. I got back online around 1:30 in the morning. And we played until like 2:30-ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, the all y'all pushed us past our goals. Pushed us past our goals to the point where me, Nick, Mike, and Roger will be going to an actual golf course.
Woo! In the links.
And
wait, how do I get in?
Streaming on? Live. Dude, you
got to be one of the stream team, bro. Oh,
sorry, bud.
Here's the thing.
If you want to be initiated into it, you have to fuck up Greg Miller. That's what I need you to do. I need you to come just when he's playing, whatever he's playing over there, we're not allowed to say. But I want you to take a frying pan to hit that. Yeah.
With the golf club. Here's the thing. Slash a tire.
Yeah.
And then he goes out to his tire and he goes, oh, my tire's not. And when he looks around, you're above him, crowbar. And then you help him fix a tire.
Oh, okay.
It's not violence.
Yeah, no, the crowbar was just
the tire thing will ruin your day.
Yeah.
Trust me. I had that last week.
You got a tire flat landing last week?
This one, have you not heard the story?
No.
This is, so like while you guys were playing Icarus.
Oh my God, no. Start from the beginning on this story.
Yeah, okay, so where are we going?
So this was for our trip to...
If you guys want to hear how maddening it is to work in this office, this story perfectly encapsulates the vibe and the just sheer idiocracy of people at Kinda Funny.
Yeah, so last week was a bad week for me. But like, it really starts, 3 weeks ago when we saw Megan?
What's bad about that?
Well, that's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
Megan was fine. Everyone enjoyed it.
Megan was great. Right. But in the previews for Megan, there was a preview for this movie called 80 for Brady.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is...
God, this fucking movie.
Which is a movie about a bunch of 80-year-old women who are big fans, super fans of Tom Brady.
Right.
They're essentially trying to fuck Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's what the whole movie's
about. They kind of want to fuck Tom.
They're trying to smash
a little
Tom
bit.
Brady.
But, you know, you just love Tom Brady. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a sexual thing.
Yeah, but like, it's sexualized. I'm not seeing the movie.
I think it was Rita Moreno who was like, when I saw Tom Brady like in the locker room, she was like, I got a little turned on. And then she goes, should I say that? And everyone's like, yeah, you can say
that. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
It's fine. It's like when we were watching Black Adam and Nick leans over and goes, that Noah Centineo, he's so handsome. And I was like, okay, grandma.
He's so handsome.
He's such a handsome fella.
I'm gonna pinch his cheeks.
Blessing. Finish the story.
So, you know, we go see Megan. After Megan, it's me and Roger, because I pick up Roger and Leanne to come see the movie. And we're talking about the movie. We're like, oh man, Megan was so dope. Megan was great.
Absolutely.
Then we start talking about the previews, right? We start talking about this preview for this movie called Plane.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Which is a movie that stars Luke Cage from Luke Cage.
Yep.
As
his name.
That's how I know him, is Luke Cage from Luke Cage. As this criminal who goes on this plane, and like they have him all chained up and stuff, right? Like he's like a hardened criminal, but they need to get him to where he's going. And there's a plane crash. It's a whole thing. It's a fucking wild ass trailer, right? And like we're talking about that, and then we talk about 80 for Brady.
Is this the trailer?
Yes.
That utilizes the dumbest. Like think back to some of the best trailers. Think back to Rogue One trailer when they utilized the siren as a thematic like thing in the trailer to kind of evoke fear and tension. And it's like
I was like a cat. Sorry, chat. And yours like is more of a child. Mine was like a dead cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And but it's part of the trailer, but it's also like similar to Christopher Nolan's like, brown. Like it's similar to that sort of thing. In the Plane trailer, is this the one? Because I've been seeing this on TV nonstop where they utilize the sound chime to let you know when to sit down.
Yes.
I don't remember this in this trailer. I thought you were going to say that this is the trailer that has a really weird and wild trailer, and then it just ends. It's just Plane.
No.
Is it Gerard Butler? No.
Yeah, Gerard Butler's in Plane. Yeah, but I've been seeing this trailer nonstop where, like, they looked at a bunch of other trailers and said, oh, we can utilize a cool sound effect to kind of like
you can capture that tension.
But it's just
what do planes got?
It's just shots of and it's just so lame. It's the lamest shit of all time.
It was like such an odd collection of trailers because the plane trailer for me reminded me a bit of the Moonfall trailer. That came on before Thor: Love and Thunder. And at one point during that trailer, there's like a line that's like, "Oh, the moon's out of orbit," and it turns into this like dumb premise of, "Oh man, we got to figure out what's going on with the moon." Plane reminds me of that because it's very Rick and Morty, interdimensional cable.
Yeah,
where it's like, I can't believe this thing exists. Like an algorithm.
Three guys on a plane.
Yeah,
they're brothers.
And, like, you get to the end of the plane trailer, it's a different movie. It's like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, why does
we're Luke out of the Cage, plane? We've been out of the plane for 2 minutes.
Luke Cage has a gun. They're on the island from Arrow, and they're fighting off against other people. It's like, what's going on here?
Incredible.
But then, in that same collection of trailers, there was 80 for Brady, which was this movie about basically the Golden Girls want to fuck Tom Brady.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And me and Roger were talking about it afterwards, and we're like, yo. That movie though kind of seems kind of fire. Like, it's we like should maybe see 80 for Brady.
Is it like the old woman version of Wild Hogs?
From what I remember, Wild Hogs being, and from having seen the trailer, you couldn't be more right if you had actually seen the movie.
I think I kind of fucking nailed that.
It's like a road trip. They take a road trip to go see.
Is like John Travolta and Tim Allen and a bunch of like old white dudes, and they're driving on like motorcycles. They're doing like one last ride.
Apparently, 80 for Brady is a real life story. It's about it's about an actual group of 80-year-olds.
Get a fivesome. Get a Tom Brady.
That's how he won the Super Bowl.
Well, he is their age. Come to think of it, he is 80 years old.
Right. Yeah, but you're similar. You're on the right. idea. Yeah,
but we talked about that, and then weeks later, during one of our kind of funny meetings that we have every Friday, usually it's Kevin that gets access to a lot of movie screeners and organizes that stuff.
Kevin's movie bros, so he has a team of people he works with that are kind enough to allow us to go see screeners ahead of time so that we can review things and or sometimes just see movies for fun. They're pretty cool.
It's like when we went to go see War for Wakanda and... Wait, no, that's the video game.
Wakanda Forever?
Wakanda Forever. The video game expansion in Avengers, rest in peace, is called War for Wakanda. Wow. Yeah. It's like we went to go watch Wakanda Forever and we saw the now San Francisco 49er George Kittle, who beat my Cowboys last night. Very, very disheartening. But he had an amazing game last night. He was there at the movie theater with Hunter Pence.
Tall guy.
Oh. He was a tall, built white guy. We were like, that guy's got to be somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was fucking George Kittle, and he had an all-time catch last night. Broke my heart.
That is the great thing about these screeners, though, is that there's always a trailer that leads to the next movie for us, where, it was during the on the way to some movie early December where Raj is like, yo, we got to go see this Puss in Boots movie. We go see Puss in Boots. That's where we saw the trailer for Megan, I believe. We go see Megan, right? That's where we see the trailer for 80 for Brady. And now, at one of our recent morning meetings, Kevin's like, hey, I got this screener for 80 for Brady if anybody wants to go to 80 for Brady. Yeah. And I look and I make eye contact with Roger. And I'm like, yo, let's do it. I'm down to go for some 80 for Brady. Like, let's do it. Yep. So I say, let's go. Roger says, let's go.
Mike says.
So Mike says, let's go. And it's on. And so come next week, I show up to work on the Tuesday that we're supposed to go to 80 for Brady, and my Kevin asked Mike, like, hey, you still going to 80 for Brady? And at this point, it's me, Kevin, and Mike in the office. And Mike's like, he's doing the Mike thing where he's trying to dig himself out of the hole.
He's Mike. He's
we sure we like this movie? We sure we want to go?
Yeah.
Mike, hard trying to pull out of this. I'm witnessing this.
Understandable.
And, here's the deal. When it's not happening to you, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. When Mike is bailing on something that he committed to you that you're counting on him for, maybe the most infuriating thing that you can deal with on that day.
An important note is it's a bad look on us if we hit them up day of and we're like, hey, just kidding, no one's coming. Because they've reserved seats for us. So we have until noon to do that, but
we shouldn't do it.
It's as a professional courtesy, because these people aren't this is they're professional. They get press screeners, basically. Yeah. It's a press screener. It's a professional thing. You say you're bringing someone, they count on that. And then obviously, in kind, if you bring more people and people talk about it, that's good for them. And then when stuff like War for Wakanda comes out, or not War for Wakanda, excuse me, Wakanda Forever comes out, maybe they give us a couple. Maybe they give us a couple extra seats. Maybe I get to sit next to the London Breed next time.
Mm.
Talk to her about what's going on in the city right now. Talk to her about some social issues. Maybe I give her. Maybe I tell her what I think she should do with all the
buildings
that are empty right now. Exactly.
So as Mike's trying to pull out of this movie,
so
puzzle pieces start to connect in my head,
right?
Because I had gotten a text earlier in the day from Roger Bricorni,
yes,
saying,
I started a group chat because I'm very excited for 80 for Brady, unironically.
Right.
I really want to see this movie. Right. My brother's a huge Tom Brady fan. I think this is the wildest premise for a film. So I'm like, hey, guys, today's the fucking day.
Today's the fucking
day. Put everyone in group chat, blessing Mike, my girlfriend, Lianza, and we're like, hey, today's 80 for Brady. What's up? And then I learned that Blessing thought that there was way more people coming to this.
So, like, I just assumed, and I shouldn't assume, but
it's
I assumed
on you.
That Kevin and Joey were going to 80 for Brady as well. Because
we talked about that in the morning meeting. In
well,
that
but here, but here's meeting, the thing. Yeah. I would have assumed so, too. Mm-hmm. Because Kevin was like, Mike, you can't do this. You keep doing this. Mm-hmm. You got to go see 80 for Brady. Kevin, so this is the funniest wrinkle about it. Is I just assumed Kevin was going. I thought it was like a big thing, and Kevin was like, hey, it's going to be fun. Yeah. We're all going.
Usually I do go to these things. That's why in that meeting I was like, I am not going to these things.
Right.
Because you guys have to figure out your own. Because I'll often be like, I'll swing by and pick you guys up, and we can all go together and make things a little smoother.
And I think there was just enough of a pop between me, Roger, and Mike where I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a lot of people.
You're riding that high. You know what I mean?
I'm like, oh, yeah, we're all going to 80 for Brady. And so when Mike starts to try and pull out, I start connecting the dots that, like, wait a second, in that group text, it was just me and Roger and Mike. And I'm like, wait, is it just going to be me and Roger going to 80 for Brady? Are you about to go on a date to 80 for Brady? Which I'm down for. I'm down to go on 80
for Brady.
But it's one of those things where you go, like, when you – I totally get it, right? If 10 of us or 5 of us are going to a thing, that's a good night. Right? One person drops out, it's precarious at that point. Is the dynamic going to be the same? Are we all going to have as much fun? Three people, bare minimum. If that third person comes out, then you get the other two people get the pass, right? If Andy goes, hey, I'm not going to come out, and it's just me and Raj, we look at each other, we go, let's call this. We got to call this.
It's not a group outing anymore.
It's not a group outing. Now we're just, the two of us are going someplace. Let's go to Outback Steakhouse and get fucked up on Schlitz.
Yeah. And so we're having this argument. At some point during the morning, Roger comes in.
Yeah, so you're already in Kind of Funny Games Daily. Mike, I think, is doing something else. And I walk in, and then Kevin, I knew something was wrong. Immediately, Kevin walks up to me and says, hey, your friend Mike, you got to go talk to him.
Yeah, you got to talk.
That's your friend thing. Used to do.
Yeah, when your kid. Your kid.
Putting the ownership. I love that.
So that I had to kind of rally the team of like go to Mike and be like, hey, like we need to go to 80 for Brady. Like you said, yes, I'm going to 80 for Brady. And he looks at me and he says, this is your one, right? And I'm like, why do I have to use my one on this situation that you agreed to?
The one.
Yep. You know what I mean? So I did it.
Are you familiar
I,
with the one?
I said
do you know the one?
And it was this whole hot potato situation of Mike being like, oh, I'm not going to go. And me being like, oh, do I want to go? And then us being like, well, how are we going to get there? Who's driving? Mike can drive. And Mike being like, I don't want to drive. And me being like,
so
I guess I can drive.
I'm like, Mike, what's the trepidation for going to 80 for Brady? You know, Mike likes to do all sorts of crazy shit. Like, I was like, Mike, I'm going to Santa Cruz next week. Do you want to go? He goes, sure. He went yesterday without me. I don't know why.
He's scoping it out.
I don't know why. I'm like, Mike, I'm going to Santa Cruz on Monday for a comedy thing.
What's today?
You want to come?
Literally 8 days ago, last Sunday,
I hate him so
we made plans to go to this pop-up fried chicken spot.
Yeah.
It's me, Joey, and the roommate. And we're like, oh, yeah, let's go. We're going to go. And then 30 minutes before we were supposed to go, I look at my phone. I see on Twitter, Mike is somewhere in the mountains. He is somewhere in the wilderness.
God damn it.
And I'm like, wait a second.
God damn it.
I almost messaged him. I was like, I'll just leave him alone. But I was like, damn, like this just happens.
I need you all to keep on listening to all these stories. For all the audience members that were on his side during the League of Legends debacle, I need you all to just keep on getting the evidence down. All right.
He answered the call.
We did go this weekend to that pop-up. Which you guys went for the wrong weekend, so it wasn't.
Yes. So Mike actually ended up dodging a bullet because we went to that pop up and we were a week early. So we're like,
he knew. He's a-
yeah. He looked it up. He just didn't tell us.
Bless. What's the one? What's the concept of this one? The one.
Real quick before we get into that, just bless. It was the best chicken sandwich I ever had in my entire goddamn.
That's what
life.
I was told, and I was told that it's better than Hot Boys, which is the best chicken sandwich that I've ever had in my life. And so now I gotta try. I guess it's a pop up, so it's too late, isn't it? Where are they popping
pop
up next?
Down?
Where can I chase down this pop-up?
I follow them on Instagram now, so if it pops up again, I'll let you know.
You can check the forecast.
Yeah. What's the forecast?
It's like where they know the next earthquake's going to hit. That's where the next pop-up's
going to the way that like the 80-year-olds are chasing after Tom Brady. Yeah. Chasing after this chicken shop.
So Mike goes, I'm like, Mike, why don't you want to go to this movie? What do you got better to do? And he goes, Slappy, I'm trying to work out. And I'm like, okay. What time does the movie start? And he's like, well, the movie starts at like 7. I was like, what's your workout? Or it started just early enough so that I'm like, I kind of get that you can't make it to the gym.
And he wasn't the X-Cast that day, so right. That's a
he was done at 5:30. I was like, okay, can you go afterward? He goes, ah, dog, the gym closes at like 8. And I'm like, now I know you're lying. Now I know you're lying.
It's Planet right? Fitness. It's 24
Planet
hours.
Fitness. I'm like, Mike, you could go at midnight. He just didn't want to go. And he forgot that he committed to going. And like everything that Mike does, he doesn't want to tell you no right off the rip because he doesn't want to disappoint you. And I love that about him. But I'm like, Mike, just say no. You don't want to go to the thing.
Yeah.
Or tell people the truth. You'd rather go work out because you're on a health kick. Everyone will understand that. But either way, at the end of the day, I walk away with the full expectation that the original crew that committed to this, all of you are going to go.
Yes. And that was the plan. All of us were dedicated to going. Some of us reluctantly. But honestly, for me, I was like, you know what? I love hanging out with Roger. I want to hang out with Snow White Mike more when I can catch him. Like, yes, let's do this. The decision was that I was going to drive. I was going to pick them up and we're going
to
go.
So what happened was is that Kevin comes to me. He's like, hey, seems like no one's making these decisions. You make the decision, Roger. So I said, okay, Mike's driving. Mike will drive us together. And then Kevin's like, not a good decision. Mike doesn't have a parking spot. Blessing has a parking spot. I'm like, okay, Blessing, you're driving us.
And so it comes time. I go. I pick up Roger and Leanne's at their place. I pick up Mike at his place. And I'm like, all right, sweet. We're doing this. It's happening.
We're going 80 for birdie.
Literally 10 seconds after I pick up Mike Howard, I get right before the entrance of the highway and my icon flips up that says low tire pressure.
Never a good sign.
And I'm like, interesting. Because I've had that thing pop up.
The weather.
It's like might be the weather. It might be a little bit cold. You know, like there might just be some weird shit going on.
Right.
So I look at it and I'm like, I'm literally at a crossroads where I'm like,
mentally,
I can pull to the side and check my tires real quick to make sure we're good, or I can hit the highway. Like fuck it. Like what's the worst that can happen? Let's just go.
Life is a highway.
10 car pile up. You blow a tire. Everyone dies.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And so I check with Roger and Mike and Leanne's, and I'm like, y'all, like, should I just go for it? What? We're not that far away from the theater. It was like 15, 20 minutes, so it was kind of far. But right. I'm like, what? Like, we can go. We can make it, and I can figure it out once we get there. I go on the highway. Everything's going good. I halfway there, I pull off the highway because there's a faster route. And, like, as we're going, I start getting internally anxious because I am like, damn, this light is on. Like, this light is still on. Like,
yeah, something's happening.
What's going on here? It's very random for this light just to pop on out of nowhere. And so I'm like, hey, I'm going to pull to the side and check my tires real quick to make sure we're good because I don't want to fucking die. And so I pull over. It's dark out at this point. I walk around and I hear this loud hissing noise. And Roger also pops out. And he's also like, yo, is this, what's that hissing sound? Because Roger's like, I think there's a hissing sound coming from the house. And then we realize that, no, it's one of the tires.
Snakes.
Finally. In this house, it could be.
Yeah, and I'm like, there's no way this is my tire. So I go, I turn off the car. And sure enough, my front right tire is just hissing out of control.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, ah, shit. All right, here we go. Get back in the car. And I'm like, all right, we got to figure out what to do. Because we're not going to 80. We're not going straight to the movie theater right now. And thankfully, we're a bit early, right? Our plan was to get dinner before going to 80 for Brady. And so we're planning on going to a diner, eating beforehand. So we're kind of early. So we're like, all right, we got a little bit of time to figure out what we're going to do. And so I consult with Roger and Mike. and I'm like, all right, maybe I should take it to the nearest tire shop. Like, maybe I can get there. And we're like, all right, what's the nearest tire shop? The nearest one that makes sense for me would have been about like 8 minutes away. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. Maybe I can do it. And I asked Roger and Mike, and I'm like, do you guys think I can make it 8 minutes based on what you guys saw on my tire? And they're like, oh, yeah, you got this. Oh, man, no, we're good. Oh, yeah, we got this.
Definitely not.
Yep.
And so I pull out, and immediately once I pull out, I'm like, guys, this tire is flat. Flat. Like, I can't turn my wheel. Yeah. Like, it's bad. And so I had to then.
And you're on a hill, too. You're on an uphill.
And I'm on a upward hill because we're in San Francisco. And so I end up having to pull back over, and it's like this slow, awkward, me having to turn my car around so I'm positioned so I can get out inevitably when I get a tow truck. But yeah, I park my car and I'm sitting there and like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen me just like internally just angry and trying to hold my anger in, but I'm legitimately like,
you handled it well though.
I'm mad. Say. I'm fucking angry because I just hate, I knew how much money it was going to cost and I just hate inconvenience. And like, I barely even wanted to go to 80 for Brady at this point.
Yeah. That's the insult to injury. The insult to injury is that you all were trying, as the second Mike put a little trepidation of going out, I saw the look in their eyes. They were like, we don't, necessarily want to go to the theater. This one's got women.
Really want to go to
that's not true. I want to go to see 80 Frank
and Brady. It's one of those things where it's like it's a movie that would be fun, but you definitely don't have to see it. And it's I sympathize with you committed when the hype was all there, but then the day of, you might not be feeling it. So remember, everyone, I left with all three of these jabronis committed reluctantly. Mike being torn, kicking and screaming, and Blessing being the one who's like, we're going to 80 for Brady, right? That night I leave, they're all going to 80 for Brady. Next morning I come, Blessing, how was 80 for Brady? Oh, I didn't go. I got flat tire.
Are you fucking kidding me? That was a funny part about it is that we're sitting in my car. I call a tow
it's
truck
so funny.
to come get service. And I'm like, y'all can Uber away. Like, it's fine. Like, leave me alone. And internally, I'm like, no, leave me alone because I need to be alone.
I'm hot.
Right
I'm mad. I'm yeah, hot.
Like,
I'm so mad.
Like, I'm like, I call up the tow truck and I'm keeping it together in front of these guys. But like, I'm like fucking seething, like mad right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's cool, y'all. And then like, they're like, all right, cool. We'll call an Uber and we'll check up on you. Like, make sure to text once you're good. And as they're leaving, I'm like, so you guys going to the movie? And they're like, no, we're not going to 80 for Brady. No. This is a sign from God. The
breaking second, Roger's heart, man.
Yeah, broke my heart.
Again, the second you give Mike an out, like Mike, when Mike doesn't want to go to something, you got to put a leash on him.
Yeah.
You got to yank him back because if you turn around for 1 second, you'll see just his keys in his wallet sitting there and he'll be gone. You're like, I have no idea. And his phone. I have no idea I was going to get home, but it's Mike.
Yeah.
I love that. I love this story so much and I want to continue it. But ladies and gentlemen, before we do that, I want to take a break. For you to hear from our sponsor.
Yo, what's up? I'm Blessing, the host of Kinda Feudy, the show where I ask members of Kinda Funny to answer questions like, name a game where you can fight giant enemies. Name a type of animal you can play as in Diddy Kong Racing. Name a PlayStation character who you'd want on your pickup basketball team. Name a game genre that Greg Miller refuses to play. Good Games is not on there, but it was written in quite a bit. And see how many audience members voted for that answer, and it usually makes them kind of mad. Red Faction is our 30-point answer.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah, baby!
That is our fourth most popular answer.
Whoa!
I'm still waiting for Bless to be like, just kidding.
Once again,
you guys are so bad at this game!
Catch up on the latest episodes right now, exclusively on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
And now we're back.
But thankfully, it wasn't... after that, it wasn't that bad, right? It was me sitting there for 30 minutes, waiting for a tow, getting service, and then...
Have some drinks afterwards.
So going to a bar with these guys.
Can I ask a couple dad questions right now?
What's up? You're going to be disappointed in me from the answers.
I know
what's coming up.
But as the resident old guy in the office, mm-hmm. I'm asking the questions rhetorically. Because I want you to have to answer them and tell everyone your shame here, right?
It is. Okay? It's going to be shame.
Look into the camera. Okay. No, look into the camera, Blessing.
Look, I want you to look dead in the camera. Yep. And ask the question. Do you have a spare tire?
I do not have a spare tire.
Oh, no!
And I knew this day was coming.
Okay.
And every passing
not
day...
Not even a donut. Not even a fucking donut.
I did
donut?
Not have a donut. And I thought for the longest time I did have a donut. Until I bought this car for my sister. And my sister one time was like, no, I took the donut. And I was like, wait. I don't have a...
Why did she take the donut?
I don't know. I don't know why.
Not even go back. The donut's useless. This is such a Kirby enthusiast. Yeah, the donut, you don't take the donut.
You don't take the person's donut. The donut's got to stay in the car. Like,
I knew for a while now that I didn't. And I was... For legit maybe a year, every single day, I'm like, all right, today's the day where I'm going to stop by the tire shop and get a donut. It just never happened.
Follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
Had you had a donut...
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to change your own tire?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Wes, I want you to know, I felt terrible when I got the news because I've been having crazy emergencies at my house. That's actually the main reason why I didn't go. And I was working on something that like sucked that day. It was awful. I was like in mud. And I got the message and I was like, oh, that sucks. Because like I would have offered to been like, let me swing by and help you figure out how to get out of this solution, this problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one point we were like, let's call Kevin. But I forget why we didn't. I think we just didn't want to bother you, honestly.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, first off, for context, this is also when all those bad storms were happening.
Yeah.
So it was chaos after chaos hitting California, hitting Northern California specifically. So to the point where me thinking of having to change a tire on the road when it's either pouring down rain, that was all, that would have been terrible.
That's the other thing, is this month has been a series of unfortunate events.
Third question.
What up?
Oh.
That question. Do you have AAA? Did you at least get the tow for free?
No.
I'm so disappointed in you, son.
That's where the seething part was coming in. Was
oh
like,
my God, you were so mad.
As soon as
that cost
happened,
like $200.
As soon as it happened, I was like, oh man.
Dude.
All of the dominoes.
All of it happening.
All the things I could have done to prepare for this moment that I didn't do as a car owner that I should have done.
You know, it's funny because having lived in San Francisco for so long, suburbs usually not too bad, but for whatever reason, San Francisco, because there's so much fucking construction always happening, there's always something happening. I get at least a flat every year. So I had to learn the hard way of like, you got to just be able to, like, I can't, you got to be able to get out and just change that tire yourself. The last tire I had to change was, I got a flat actually going to the Metreon to see a movie. I think it was like Spider-Man.
It was the
Multiverse of Madness. And D was with us because I had talked her into going to that
movie. Oh, I remember this.
And I had all of, for whatever reason, all of my stand-up comedy shit in the back of my car, including the mic stand, the stool that for whatever fucking reason we bring with us everywhere, all of the gear, all of the lights and shit. So in the Metreon, I had to take all that out to get my spare tire out. And I started changing it. And I have never seen my wife proud of me before. So imagine my surprise when she was like, wow, that was really impressive that you know how to change a tire. Yeah. And I'm like, that might be the first time in 15 years you've actually said something nice like that. It was pretty cool. I never felt more like a man than when I changed that tire.
A quick YouTube bus. I think like I dealt with a couple of flat tires back when I lived in Austin. Luckily, they were like in a parking garage, so I wasn't having to really – I wasn't in the middle of the road. I've had to do two middle-of-the-road ones, but the other like couple that I've had to do were just in a parking structure. Quick little YouTube has been like, oh, this model of car comes with this jack, and this is how you fucking
the jack's
crack
the hardest part,
shit up.
Right? The jack, of course, is the hardest part because you don't know where to put every. Inevitably, you put it on the wrong part of the car, and you start hearing that plastic crunch.
Yeah,
because there's a little spot on your frame.
You do it on the steel beam.
That's like that. That's specifically for that on by the tires. And then, of course, the hardest thing is you always jack it up, and then you go to spin the lug nuts, and the tires start spinning too because you have to break the lug nuts while there's still pressure on the tire, down pressure, so you can do that and then jack it back up. Unless you're one of those badasses with a Porsche and you got the center link wheel locks, in which case, call a tow truck. Don't try to do it yourself.
I'd like to ask the people in the comments in the chat, like, how surprised are you all that I know how to do this? Because this seems like something totally out of my wheelhouse.
I didn't know that. I'm flabbergasted that you do. Because I would think, and this is no disrespect to you. No disrespect to you. Full on seriousness. I would think that if you got a flat tire, you would just leave the car there forever.
Man, like, I am the type of person to, like, I'd rather just not deal with the inconvenience. And that's where I'm at.
That's where my
frustration would be.
I was like, I would rather just call somebody to deal with it for me, right, as opposed to, like, getting my hands dirty and doing all that shit.
How do you all kind of deal with low gas?
I'm terrified of it.
That's like my biggest fear. Yeah. Really? And once it gets close to empty, I'm like, fucking, I need to.
Do you wait till the light comes on?
No. I don't think I've ever had the light
really?
In my life. Like, no, yeah. Every time I would drive, I'm like, I need to.
The second the light comes on, the anxiety comes on.
1,000%.
Okay. And I started thinking to myself, because one time when I used to have an all white Jetta VR6, my favorite car ever.
Jetta's a cool man.
Badass. Great car. It was white. People gave me a lot of shit for that back in 2001. They were like, this is a sorority girl car. And I was like, I don't care. I fucking love this color.
It's easy to see at night.
Cool.
Safety.
Super badass, right? That car gave me no problems until one time I was threading the needle on the way to work. Just I was like, you know me. I'm 21 years old. I'm sleeping until, I don't know, 10:50. My shift starts at 11:15. I got a 40-minute drive. I'm already late.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have time for gas. God forbid I get the gas the night before when I'm smoking cigarettes and drinking out my buddy's house. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The light's been on for a while, and I know this light's on for a while, and I feel myself threading the needle. Car just stops.
Oh, shit.
Stalls out. Very bad for your engine to run out of gas while it's still on. Not good. Pull over. Have to call my brother, who was like, you're the biggest idiot on the fucking planet, you idiot. Brings me gas. I go to work. From that point on, nothing but problems with that car. Sensor problems, electrical problems. The radiator blew up at one point, which I don't think was connected. But in my brain, I'm like, if I ever run out of gas again, my car will just nuke itself and I will be sans ride. So from this, like that thing comes on and my brain starts going, you're gonna die. You got to get to the fucking gas station right now. Gary.
That's the most anxious I've ever been driving. Is like I was on the freeway sometime a couple years ago on my way home from a haircut, and like the gas light came on, and I was like, shit, dude, I'm like, what, 8 minutes away from a gas station? And the whole time on the way there, I was like, if this thing goes down, I'm gonna be pissed.
I'd rather perish.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave my car here.
Yeah, I've had a couple of close calls. I've had one where I did completely run out of gas, but like one of the closest scariest calls was when I was not any near civilization. I was driving home from Austin back to the Rio Grande Valley, which is about 4.5-5 hour drive. And
they play games there?
They don't play games. They don't play games in RGB. No, and it's just one of those where I'm like, I'm low on gas. I know the gas station I'm stopping at. It's the one I always stop at. It was closed. And I was like, oh, I don't really know where the next one is further south, but I know one that I already passed, and it's a trek. And I'm just like playing. I'm with my cousin in the car. I'm playing with fire. I am terrified. Lucky we get there all good, totally safe. But the time that I actually did run out of gas on the road was one of those like, all right, the light's on, but I usually get, I got some sort of wiggle room, you know, the warning light's on. Yeah. I should still be good. And I fucking run out of gas at the top of the exit that then gets to, like, I would exit and go straight into the gas station. I run out of gas. I feel it. I'm like, oh, fuck. It's done. It's fucking done. I can't even fucking turn the steering wheel because the power steering's down. But I'm able to neutral and coast directly into a fucking little slot.
Incredible.
It was amazing. I didn't have to get out of my car. I didn't have to do shit. It was like I had just enough gravity and inertia to push me to the little slot. It was like Jesus was watching over me.
Yeah, I had a similar scary moment. I was going actually to Pennsylvania from New York, and it was like a 3.5 or something like that hour drive. It was fine, but it was raining a lot that day. And I pull off to go to a Cracker Barrel. That's my favorite thing in the world.
What is a Cracker Barrel?
A Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, what is that?
You don't know what Cracker Barrels?
Really?
No.
Shit. It's like a diner type vibe. It's like a southern, I guess it's like a diner, but it's like, they're a chain.
Did your love for Cracker Barrel start because of your dad?
Say it again?
Did your love for Cracker Barrel start because of your dad, like Jack in the Box?
No.
You don't know what Cracker Barrel is?
No.
Wow, that's not crazy to me.
We don't think we have them in California.
Do you guys not have them in California?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen one of these before.
Yeah, they just have like... Just,
this is like a cocoa. It looks like a cocoa's. No, this is like more southern inspired.
Yeah, it's
we don't have nothing like
this. We
had this
in the Midwest. Like I went, it was like one in Champaign, Illinois that we used to go to all the time.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
I mean, this looks insane.
Yeah, and they also have like a store in there which has a bunch of knickknacks and stuff. Whatever.
Knickknack is the perfect word.
Exactly,
stuff
right?
That they
just
sell in
bullshit,
store,
right?
Little candles, maybe a clock, maybe some cool little cute shit. Yeah. It's one of those places where you walk and you're like, it feels so welcoming and inviting. I don't want to know anybody's politics here.
Exactly.
Like, I'll get those eggs.
We'll just assume everyone's wearing the red hat, ironically. Yeah. Right?
Like, eggs taste like they hate me, but
oh my God. Is everyone looking at me?
So Leanne and I pull in, and so we're pulling off into the exit. What?
Nothing.
I'm pulling off to the exit, and as I pull off, my radio turns off. Like, that's fucking weird. And then I'm like, okay, my car's running fine-ish. It's going whatever. And I pull into the actual parking spot in the Cracker Barrel, and my whole car turns off. I'm like, okay, that's strange. And I call my dad while we're eating. And it's like one of those things where I'm like, I'm not too worried because it's raining. Maybe it was just like something. Maybe my battery's going or something. I can just call Geico. And I mean, he's like, oh, it's probably your battery, right? It's the rain or whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine. I go in there. Car's not turning on. It's the fucking alternator. So it's completely dead. This car,
your battery's dead.
Yeah, no, like the alternator's dead. So like, it's not even the battery. Like the battery's fine. So we're just stuck there for fucking 2 hours. But I was very lucky that I pulled straight into like an actual parking spot right before that. That was a moment where I was like,
"What's
I think
the solution? Did they tow it away?
They had to tow it away, and that was a whole other thing. They pulled into like one of the Geico, like, hey, here's one of the places you can take it to, and the guy drops it off, and I go to the guy, I'm like, hey, my car's here. The guy's like, we don't take walk-ins. I'm like, my car's here. He's like, I don't know what to say. Like, okay.
that's my biggest thing is like when your car gets towed at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Where do you take it? Everything's closed.
So I just left when my car got the flat tire last week, I just left it at the tire shop. I was like, I'll go there in the morning and talk to them.
So they park it, they just park it at the tire shop?
Yeah, just park it at the tire shop. And, like,
and then you just got to get there in the morning when they open and say, hey, my car's here.
Exactly.
And they put it up on the wheel jacks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I live in a city where there's no place to park. There would be no place to park my car. And I've seen people like at tire shops get the car towed there, and it's always my nightmare. Anything that has to do with the check engine light coming out of my car, my nightmare.
Yeah,
hate it. I'm like, minimum this is gonna cost me $200. One time my Honda, the engine blew up, cost me $3,500, and the guy that was fixing it looked at me and was like, you should not do this.
Yeah.
You should just junk this car. Like, this car is not worth this. And I was like, bro, dude, I live in San Francisco. I do not want a new car.
Yeah.
I'll just pay this and deal with it. And then right when I was done, the air conditioning went out. Like, God damn it. The Honda wanted to die.
I mentioned the most anxiety I've had while driving was the gas light coming on. That's actually a blatant lie. That maybe since I moved out of the Midwest, that was probably the most anxiety I had. But in my first, 4 years driving, I lived in Illinois where it snows a lot. And driving in the snow, I'll never miss it, right? Like,
no, it's horrible.
It's terrible. It's
terrible for
dangerous.
Your car.
Sucks.
Like, one of the early examples I have of, like, almost, like, freaking out while driving is, I remember there was, like, one, was either Sunday night or Monday night where I was driving. It was, like, back when I still went to church, right? It was, like, a college night service or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. It was, like, ice rain going on outside and, like, the roads are freezing over.
You
and
had
it was,
that like, black ice?
Yeah, the black ice. God.
Terrifying.
It was like an 18-minute drive, and I was like, oh, man, I'll make it. I want to see my friends. I want to hang out. I'm going to go. As soon as I pull out of my neighborhood, like the first turn I take, I start to stop at the stop sign, like the first stop sign, and like I start to brake. My car just does not brake, right? And I'm like, ah, shit. And so like I try to – I don't want to drift into the intersection, and so I try to like take my car
– Turn with it.
Yeah, turn with it. My car starts to drift off the road.
Ooh.
And it's going, thankfully for me, it is going at a very slow speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I drift off the road onto, now I'm like on the like side grassy area, and mm-hmm. it is still icy. And I'm doing the slowest drift you've ever seen, where I am going 2 miles per hour, and now I am starting to move toward a pole. And I've never been so anxious for like, it was maybe 15 seconds of me.
Felt like a lifetime.
It felt like a lifetime. 15 seconds of me just slowly drifting toward a pole. And me being like, I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't stop. And me being like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm about to do in this situation. And thank God I stopped right before the pole. And I get back. And I'm like, I'm going home. There was no point in me trying to go and praise God at this moment.
Absolutely not. God was getting down on you at that point.
God's telling me something different.
Yeah. That's always my thing, man. I mean, I don't understand how people do it. How do you live in the snow? Every time I go up there, every single time, even I got chains, it doesn't matter. I got the car. And granted, everyone's like, we'll go four-wheel drive car with proper tires. I'm like, oh, good for you, 1%er. But you get up there, there's always a moment. There's always a moment where my butthole clinches up. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
Have you seen videos of the Seattle snowstorm, ice storm that happened Christmas week? It doesn't snow that often in Seattle, and so they don't have proper
road care.
Yeah, road care, right? Like they're not getting salt out there and plowing the roads at like a decent pace compared to somewhere in the Midwest, because why would they pay all the money for that infrastructure when it only snows once every couple years? The videos from the ice storm, I'll find some and send them to assets because, Kevin got on Reddit. This happened about a month ago in Seattle.
Yeah, there it is. So that guy's drifting. That's incredible.
And this was a full day of me just scrolling through TikTok, just watching these videos because
it's fascinating.
Like, it was so entertaining to watch.
You can't be driving like that. None of these. Oh my God.
No, dude.
That's all ice too.
This for
that's
audio
why.
Listeners, of course, like Seattle is hilly. As
Very
well.
Hilly.
And so you're having these icy roads.
What's happening here?
So it's icy roads, it's hills, it's people. There are videos of people that would walk out of their house and then they'll slide down the
just
hill and have
shit.
No way to get back home.
Yeah.
Because they can't climb up here now.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
You're seeing cars just pile up, like falling down hills and shit.
Yeah.
So I used to live in Seattle before I moved down to the Bay Area, and the first
Done.
Time
on the ground
the first time it snowed when I lived in Seattle, I had so much hubris because I'm from the Midwest, so I was like, oh dude, I know how to drive in the snow. I know how to drive on ice. I have no problem with that. What I didn't realize was that there was no road care, right? There wasn't the salt, and also I hadn't experienced driving on hills because I lived in the Midwest. And so on my way to work, I'm driving up this hill, and I get to the top and it's a stoplight, so I stop and then the light goes green. And so I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. And I press my accelerate to go forward.
Yeah.
And my car starts drifting backwards down this hill. Oh. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I hit the brake. And I'm like, fuck. And my heart starts beating real fast because I'm like, ah, shit, what am I going to do? There's a really narrow road. There are cars that are parked on both sides of the road. If I keep going backwards and sliding, I'm going to hit these cars.
Right.
And so I try one more time. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And my car, again, drifts back a bit. And I'm like, I press the brake. And I'm like, ah, shit. all right, like, I, there's only one thing for me to do in this situation. I just got to floor this bitch and hope that I get up. Look at this guy just fucking...
Oh, no!
Thankfully, on the third try, I just fucking floored it, and I was able to get up.
It worked?
Yeah, it worked.
Oh,
but
man.
That was another one of those moments where I was super anxious. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Dude, the most scared I've ever been in the snow was, like, the second or third time I drove up to Tahoe, and I had chains on. Now, I just assume you put chains on, you're good, right? Yeah. But it's a two-wheel drive car, so it's like, whatever, you got to be careful.
What's the actual, like, how do you do that?
The chains, like...
I can't imagine how functionally that looks, chains around a tire. I don't understand
chains,
how that looks.
But you basically, they come in a strip, you drive up onto them, and then you loop them around, chain them together, and then they have a little, like, rubber piece that pulls it. So it goes onto the back of your tire, and the rubber piece pulls it tight. But they're not foolproof. Like, you can throw it. That's what they look like right there. Those are actually nice chains. So see that piece that kind of connects them all together keeps it tight?
I don't know why. I just can't imagine these not getting stuck in the fucking axle.
They 100% do. So, like, the last time I went up with chains, I was like, God, that's not a good sound. And I drove into, like, a Chevron station. It was ice cold outside. And I looked in, and the chain had slipped into my rotor. Ooh. And so I had to get back there and kind of undo it with the Leatherman, and it took me like an hour. It was fucking horrible. They're terrible.
Kevin popped out of your trunk and had his little Leatherman.
I've never felt more like Kevin in my life than when I was like this. I don't know how to solve this problem, but I have a Leatherman and a fucking and like a dream. I'm just gonna get under this car. Meanwhile, my wife's like, "Well, I'm cozy in here for now." I was like, "Well, if I can't get this off, we're gonna freeze to death." But they have nicer chains that people have, where it's like I think they're easier to put on. You can also pay very nice people on the way up chain control to put them on for you, but my ego was like, I can figure this out.
Yeah, I can figure this out.
I did it wrong.
A couple things. I just went to the snow, and one very, very tragic news. I lost my Leatherman putting the chains on. Put it on my tire, moved the car, the Leatherman slipped off, fell somewhere in the road, couldn't find it. It was a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Second.
That's like Luke's lightsaber.
Yeah. They found it, though. They figured it out.
The second one is that the chain control looked at my car because I had put one chain on. We were stuck in traffic for an hour and a half, like dead traffic, and I was putting a chain on. It opened up again, so I jumped back in the car, started driving. Chain control people were like, "Oh, you got all-wheel drive, you're fine." And no, if it's snowing really hard, you're not fine. Put the chains on.
Well, you might have been if you had. I don't know if you have like snow tires on your car.
I don't have snow tires. I have worn tires.
Right. So, but even then, I'll be honest with you, dude. Like, if it was anything, because you were up in Tahoe the same week, and I was in Twain Hart.
Yeah, which is
if it was anything like Twain Hart, it wouldn't have mattered. Like, people, I saw a guy four wheel drive truck with clawed up, just fucking massive winter tires on it. Ripped by us, and we were going like maybe 30 miles an hour. We're in this tiny little rented RAV4 that all the comics got together and rented, and we're like petering. And thankfully, my friend Brooke was from the Midwest, so she knows how to drive in snow. So she's like, "We're good." This like massive Ford F-250 rips past us, maybe going 10 more miles an hour than us. But when you're going slow, it's scary. Hits the brakes and starts sliding, starts sliding, and we're like, "I'm like, I'm gonna see someone die, in real life." And the guy. I'm not even kidding, like a foot away from the car in front of him, yanked the wheel and corrected the car real quick and then just ripped off.
Holy shit.
And I was like, that dude.
Wild.
And then we saw him do it again and I was like, oh, this dude's doing this shit on purpose. This guy's having fun. It's just whipping the dip.
That's what he did in high school. And I do not recommend this. But like in high school, we had like open lunch and so we can go wherever. And so like me and my friends, it was like when I was a senior. So I had friends that drove. We would go to McDonald's, get food, and it was the coolest thing ever because we're high schoolers.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then we would find a parking lot and then just drift on ice on snowy days. And that's just what we did. And looking back, I was like, dude, I could have died.
Like, oh, my God.
Not safe.
First time I ever went to Tahoe was with one of my old friend's friends who lived. They grew up going to Tahoe because they're from the Bay Area. We go up in his Suburban. Like one of those big ass, like, you know, massive
fucking 10 people.
Yeah, 10 people. Yeah. And we're all in there. We go to the cabin, unpack, and he goes, "We have a cocktail." And he's like, "Do you guys want to go do donuts in the parking lot?" And I was like, "That sounds really scary." And I'm like, "My vote's no." And everyone's like, "We're doing it." So I was like, "Well, okay." So we get the car. And we just go to this random parking lot next to his cabin.
Yeah.
And he just goes, "You guys ready?" And floors it. And we're just doing loop-de-loops. Like, drifting out of control. I look over. There's just snow coming at me, and we just stop. I'm like, this is the scariest fucking thing I've ever done
terrifying.
Before. Of course, I'm acting like a man. You know? Like, this is cool, let's keep it going.
I was way too nerdy to be in that crowd, but I ended up there. So I was like, cool, I guess I'm here.
Let's keep it going.
I'm like, this is so good. We're having such a great time. I forget, someone in the live chat over on YouTube said, snow tires will get you out of the ditch, but they won't stop you from getting into the ditch. That's very true. Or all-wheel drive is what he said. Yeah, it all just scares the shit out of me. Like I said, the scariest I've ever been is when I was making a left-hand turn, I kid you not, 5 miles an hour, and I'm making a turn. And, you know, Tahoe is like, they don't put guardrails everywhere. It's the mountains. You're just expected not to fall off. And I'm making a left-hand turn, and my car just starts going like this. And I'm like, that is a very – I'm talking like a 5-6-story drop-off with nothing there. And I stopped just beforehand and then kept going. I'm like, well, that's it for me. I'm never living in the snow.
My favorite was like back in the day when I still lived in Illinois, we were driving from one friend's place to another friend's place, and it was a snowstorm. And we had one of our new friends that was in town. He came from the U.K., it's not like they didn't have snow, so I don't know why he didn't know how to drive in the snow. I think he was just a bad driver. But it was
most people from the UK are.
We were like, hey, follow Bless. Bless knows where the guy's house is that we're going. Just follow him. So it was my car and his car, and I made sure to like, you know, keep a good distance, make sure I didn't lose him in the snowstorm. Halfway there, like I keep looking in the mirror, making sure he's there. There was one point where I looked in the mirror and he's just gone, and I was like, oh. He must have took a different turn. I don't know.
Seen him since.
Like, he just disappeared. I don't know where he went. I get to my... It was our friend's Jason's place that we're getting to. I get to my friend Jason's place, and he's like, yo, bro, have you heard from John? And I'm like, what's up with John? And he's like, John's in a ditch right now. Oh, and I was like, oh, no. And so we had to go and pick him up.
God, that's the worst.
What's that? What are you... Worst. You eyeing these Tic Tacs?
Well, I mean, when do those Tic Tacs even... Why do you have two things
of
Tic Tacs?
Yeah, why are they in play?
I saw two Tic Tac things at the store a little while
those
ago.
Those berry ones are wild, bro.
Big Berry Adventure or Fruit Adventure?
I would like Big Berry Adventure, please.
I'm trying to get in a Fruit Adventure.
And I know
Fruit Adventure, let me just say right now, Roger made the right call.
Absolutely.
Going on a Fruit Adventure a lot better than a Big Berry Adventure.
Big Berry's weird. They're too sour.
Big Berry looks like nerds. It's like big nerds.
It does. It does look like, big ass nerds. Here, I'm going to toss you the Big Berry Adventure.
Well, now I don't want them anymore.
You called them. You and Blessing have to have the Big Berry Adventure.
Blessing, let's try these. This is going to be the ultimate TikTok.
Big nerds. Because let me tell you, Raj. The Fruit Adventure, vastly superior in taste.
Tap those into my Tic Tac. There you go. There you go.
Did you ever try that, like, oh my God, you give me so many. Did you ever try, like, that TikTok hack where you, like, turn it upside down and only gives you one or whatever?
What?
It's fucking stupid. I don't think it exists. It's like the little dip when you open it up.
Oh, the dip is meant
it's
to,
like, meant to, like,
catch the Tic Tac.
Yeah, give you one.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that.
Oh, that's kind of cute. Yeah. It's a little singular compartment for a Tic Tac. They're not good, right?
One ticket at a time.
They're not good.
They get progressively worse.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That can be.
Now, do yourselves a favor. Join us on this fruit adventure.
Yeah.
Blessing, would you like to join Andy and Roger on this fruit adventure?
I guess I'll join.
Put them all in your mouth and just kind of let them dissolve and then eventually chew into them.
Here, put these on here.
These have such a good. Yeah, get those fucking berry ones out of here, dude. The berry ones are really bad.
Use the fruit compartment.
Yeah. Rank them one.
Let
to
God
ten.
Decide how many put in my hand.
Roger, how is this supposed to work? Oh, there we go. Oh, there we go.
That is
so inconvenient.
That's so inconvenient.
I mean, you need to get like five. Yeah, I don't know why Blessing got one singular green one.
That's all he wants.
Let's try these. Here we go, guys. We're going on an adventure together with Andy.
I think they're all chewy. I think that's just.
Are the mint ones chewy? I haven't had a Tic Tac in a while.
All of the flavored ones have a little chew to them for some reason. The original Tic Tac, you know, my favorite, of course, the goat Tic Tac, is a tie between the light green and the orange.
What got you, goat Tic Tac?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought about goat flavor Tic Tac.
The light green, of course, is hard. Don't bite into those things. Those are going to crack a tooth. These things, I think they're like, these are for children. We're going to make them a little more chewy, which is why Andy has 5 packs in his pocket right now.
I have it's two. Weird. I have two.
I think the one I just got was green apple. And honestly... I've seen a lot of green apple slander on the internet lately.
What's going on
really?
With this?
I don't know, because green apple's one of the best flavors to me.
You're talking about the Yard podcast?
Is that the one?
With the two dudes?
The two dudes that I love, yeah. They remind me of Drake and Josh for some reason. I love those guys.
My favorite comment on those guys is like, I'll never watch a full podcast. I just like watch them through these TikTok clips. But like, they're going through what are the best flavors and worst flavors of certain candies. Mm-hmm. They're going through Jolly Rancher.
Sounds like
they go, hey, KFA. Name the two best Jolly Rancher flavors. blue raspberry and whatever, whatever. What's the worst one? And they both go, green apple, right? Green apple fucking sucks. Now, what about a fucking blow pop? What's the worst flavor? Green apple. Green apple fucking... I don't understand it. Green apple is so superior.
Green apple is so tasty. Dolly Rancher?
It's consistent, too.
I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Say it.
I get it.
Oh, wow. Fuck off.
Are you just not a sour person?
It's not that I don't like green apple. It's that given the other flavors in the variety pack, that's going to be my last choice every single time.
No.
What's your first choice?
Cherry, grape, strawberry, anything that's...
Nick, I'm not trying to stereotype you, okay? But I believe these two men are Italian in this podcast.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
A good point.
That makes a lot of sense.
That is a good point.
It's you know, I'll tell you, the Italians, we don't like green apple. I'm going to say that honestly. Growing up, I never had green apple. It was not. It's not something that my mom had ever baked with it. It was not a flavor that was.
Your
in
mom's
our,
like, no, get those out of the pack. We don't need those here.
I mean, I did have a lot of Granny Smith apples, and I fucking hate those things. But yeah, the green apple is just too tart.
The Yard podcast had another video about like Granny Smith apples and shit.
Really?
Yeah, they were talking about their favorite apples, and the guy was like, "He's like, what's your favorite apple?" And he was like, "I don't know, red." And the guy was like, "Really? Like, you're just gonna say red?" Like, he's like, "What other apples do you want me to say?" He's like, Granny Smith starts listing off these different names for the apples they got.
That looked amazing. That was Kevin just brought up an image of a Tic Tac dispenser.
I'm gonna send it.
That's cool.
I'm just gonna send Kevin this asset so we can do a podcast within a podcast.
Please Cody do. Hagler in chat says, we, the Italians, don't care for the green apple.
I don't think we do. I'll be honest with you guys. If anyone in the live chat right now is Italian, let me know if you grew up with that being a thing. It was never really a thing in my house, at least.
Because, like, for me, when I think of Laffy Taffys, banana and green apple, the first ones I go for.
Oh, banana's disgusting.
You're crazy.
Banana's the grossest flavor.
Banana?
Oh, fuck
it,
off.
It is such a gross... I hate bananas in general.
Oh, fuck off. I love bananas, but when you put banana in a candy, you're asking for me to fucking throw up all over your Adidas.
Absolutely.
All over your dicks?
Adidas.
Because, like...
Adidas.
Okay, so those are, like, my go-to Laffy Taffy flavors. But when we talk about Jolly Rancher, green apples...
Sorry, that was the thing I sent.
Favorite type of apple. Hit me.
Kevin's troubleshooting.
Green apple's always number one.
I can.
Did you guys do the unit in elementary school where you had to taste the different kind of apples?
Yeah, we did.
I think
we actually did.
And I think the green apples won in our class.
Dude, why
they never even gave me one
because
they were stereotyping me as Italian.
They had the green apple. They looked at Nick and they're like, "He doesn't like.
He doesn't like this. This little Italian's not gonna like these."
Yeah, hit us with this.
I love these guys.
Hit us with this one.
All right, these are the guys, huh?
Red. I said apple, not color.
The red ones, what are they?
All of them are red.
Do you know? No, they're not.
Except for yellow? Except for the green ones and the yellow ones. Okay, there are like 90 types of red apples. Pink Ladies, Gala,
Pink Ladies
Macintosh,
the bomb.
Red Delicious.
Red Delicious?
We've had so many apple podcasts on our show, by the way.
Apples are very...
I would fucking think so.
Divisive.
Did I grow up on an orchard?
No, you grew up eating apples, Joey.
Yeah, if someone puts an apple.
But this
in front
is
me,
how
I
learned that there are.
Hey, what's this one's name?
Specific names of apples.
You've wait, never gone. You've never actually gone.
Are you serious?
With a store.
This video?
Wait,
Kevin. Well, hold on.
Like,
what?
Yeah, if you'd asked me like my favorite kind of apple, I would have said green apple.
So you didn't know any of those names.
No, I think I heard of Red Delicious.
This is so offensive because like we have a definitive Apple podcast on the kind of funny episode.
We really
like,
do.
See, there's an episode where all we did was rank the fucking apples, and it is divisive, and we got really argumentative with each other.
Did you guys eat the apples while you're?
No, I don't even think we ate apples. I think we just yelled at each other because Greg is okay. This is gonna come as a shock to everyone out there. Greg's a fucking weirdo. I'll say it. He likes Granny Smith apples. Wasn't that his thing?
No,
isn't he like those
horrible... The number one apple that you ever see, it's always like never the most expensive because Gala is usually the most expensive. We looked at apple charts. There's like purple apples, if you didn't know. Bless
I did not know that.
It's purple apples outside in the world. We looked at all the rarest apples that you could eat out
By
there.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you. I'm seeing a lot of
Honey
love
Crisp.
For the Pink Lady in the live chat. That is correct.
Honey
that is
Crisp,
the best apple.
Honey Crisp is the number...
I missed this apple...
Honey Crisp is the number one apple ever.
Gross. So gross.
Go fuck yourself.
So gross.
Honey,
don't taste like anything. They smell like they should taste, but they don't taste like it. It's water.
No, you're lying. Honey Crisp is like known to like. There's an apple graph blessing. If Kevin can look up
Who
like apple flavor graph.
It's made by one A. Cortez.
There's a graph out there that shows you like these are a little bit more sour. These are a little bit more sweet. these, like, it kind of, like, lets you know, here's a chart in case you're lost, you know. It's like when you're on tour, you know, in the fucking, in Hawaii, you get to know, like, oh, these areas, you know. Yeah. It's like a chart for that. Like, yeah. If you need help.
If here's... I give a hot take, I don't really fuck with apples like that.
I agree with this, too. I mean.
Like, green apples are cool, but I'll never,
they're fine.
When I'm at the store, I never buy an apple if I'm buying a fruit.
What's your go-to fruit?
You want to get three apples?
I like grapes a lot. I like grapes a lot. I like plums also. Plums are probably my favorite fruit.
I like a mango.
No, but here's
a mango's fire.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Apples keep you awake. If you have an apple in the morning, it's better than a cup of coffee.
There's no way that's
true. I promise.
I don't know about that, Andy. Where are you getting this information from?
What
TikTok?
The fuck are we talking about
I
now?
Promise. If you look it up.
Andy promises.
So I believe him. I was like, I can't question this. I never heard this in my life. I can't question it.
Because so, like, not only does it keep you regular, right? It keeps you regular.
Very fibrous.
Yeah, very lots of fiber.
Water.
But it's the same amount of, like...
Kevin just brought up for the listeners. Overall, no research supports or rejects the idea of eating an apple before bed to promote good sleep. It doesn't appear that apples promote or inhibit your sleep. So if you feel like having an apple before bed, go for it.
What's the second link? Hibernate.com. Do apples keep you awake? To summarize, apples do keep you awake.
Let's get another source on that one.
But it's hibernate.com. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a reputable.
So it's written by
apples keep you awake, but coffee keeps you more alert, right? So it's a different thing. But apple, like, if you have an apple in the morning, you're going to feel better about your day overall. You're going to feel more, you know, vivacious.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't believe it.
Unless you're Italian.
I promise.
But what do you say? You keep on saying promise. We just pulled up the research and they said no.
Look, like, you talking about apples is me talking about Jack in the Box breakfast.
I promise.
Let's see here. Kevin brought up hibernate.com again, okay. I think. Oh, no, whatever this is.
Here's a little, there's a chart of a man who looks sad. He doesn't have any apples in his
body. What happens to your brain? What doesn't happen to your brain? There's a lot of information that Kevin's throwing at us on this one.
Where did you hear about this?
I heard it on the Dan Levitard show.
And you were going to say podcast.
I knew that. Every piece of information you have in life is from the Dan Levitard
show. Podcast information.
You get it from Sugats? Because it's probably not true. Sugats.
Well, he goes, the apple keeps you awake all day, Dan. And he's like, well, it does nothing for this conversation. And like, an apple a day. How about them apples?
Andy, can I tell you the most Sugats moment I've had in this office in the new year?
Oh, my God.
That's okay. Go ahead. That's on me.
Well, I want my fruit
adventure. The most dramatic bottle falling over.
I had a show over the weekend, and I wanted to promote the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I have a fairly substantial Instagram following, but I don't really know how Instagram works anymore, and I especially don't know how TikTok works anymore. But I know there's someone in this office that does know how TikTok works. And as the elder in the office, I think it's important to show people sometimes it's okay to be vulnerable. So I said, I announced to everyone, hey, Roger, can you help me post this thing on my TikTok? And Roger just started laughing. And Andy,
it's the funniest.
Wait,
Andy,
hold on, Nick. That's not how you phrased it, though.
He didn't stop laughing the entire time. I said, "Roger, am I do?" I posted. I was like, "Roger, am I doing this right?" And I handed the phone to Roger. Roger, to your credit, yeah. You tried to stop laughing. You tried not to laugh at me
like
the
right
entire
now.
Time. God, it was terrible. Kevin, what did I say? What did I do?
Didn't you like dramatically? To Roger, but very loudly to the room, you said, Roger, teach me TikTok.
I said, Roger, teach me how to TikTok.
He did his little voice too a little bit.
I said, Roger. I said, I have the TikTok.
And then he just pulls up. I thought he had a video of something they recorded. It's just one singular image.
It was a TikTok image.
And he was trying to post.
People do it. It was a poster.
Was he trying to post one of those slideshows?
No, just one image.
Oh my God.
And then he was trying to post it. I was like, did you put music to it? He's like, you can put music.
Well, because it came with music. Came with music.
My favorite part is I was like, well, you put music to it. He's like, what type of music? I'm like, any music. And I've never seen his mind like explode more.
I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what, do you have to link it to like your Spotify and pay for it? And he goes, no. No. And I was like, okay, what should I put? And he goes, anything you want.
Whatever you want, bro.
And then Tim,
fucking idiot,
tired of hearing all this, or maybe it was Joey, just goes, Nick, just use Genuine's pony. Just use it. That's what you're going to use anyway. You have three things that you think of. So I did that. And Roger's like, do you want to like maybe talk over this? And I was like, well, there's words because the information's there.
They
on the
can
poster.
Read it. Yeah.
They can read it. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Roger. People came out to that show.
Because of the TikTok?
Because of the Instagram that I posted.
Okay. How did the TikTok
They found on the Instagram.
What's the numbers on the TikTok?
Who the fuck knows? Like, I don't know how to check the numbers on TikTok. I have no... TikTok mystifies me, which is hilarious Let's because I see up. All Let's of them up. 3 weeks later.
I can't wait to watch this look static image.
What? I'm not the only person that posts static images on TikTok.
Images. That's the issue. It's images. You posted one single
image. Yeah, people scroll. They're scrolling through their timeline. They see the image. They go, Nick's doing a comedy show. I'm definitely not going to show up. And they keep scrolling. Right?
That's how it's
going to go. What's your account? Nick underscore Scarpino.
Who the fuck knows? Greg Star. Yeah, that's it.
Just two underscores.
Yeah, of course there is.
Oh, yep, it's a static image. It's just the image of the post on TikTok.
598.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, 27 likes.
27 likes. I'll hit it. I'll hit it with a
seven.
Like.
Yeah, hit that. Like, I mean, the like show's done. You don't have to like
the
it anymore.
The first comment is Greg Miller saying, bring me a lot of
coffee. When my ex-boyfriend who had...
I'm gonna
was that the next TikTok?
That was mine. That was my
I'm going to comment, can't wait for this.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate your support. That glowing glowing show of support you had right
There's
there.
There's a comment on here from 3 days ago from Hottie Pippin that says, Roger taught Nick how to TikTok. Bravo.
Wait, how the fuck did he know about
because
that?
Because why the fuck?
I think you just assume.
I'll tell you what also helps with discovery. Hit that little bookmark or favorites.
Oh.
You hit the favorites, that like puts you in the algorithm a lot
I appreciate
more.
That.
Are you ever going to TikTok again?
Yes, I am going to TikTok. I've actually started clipping out my comedy clips.
Oh, okay. So
I'm going to start posting some of those right now.
Beginnings. Is it the start? And then you're
well, I don't know if it's a start or not, but I mean, obviously, like, I'm a solid, and this is going to come as a shocker to Andy, I'm a solid 2 years late on posting comedy clips. So I figured, why not start now?
Absolutely.
Why not try and gain some footing in that right before people stop doing that?
Yeah.
I think is the idea. But I mean, filming all my stuff with that camera that we're working with, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm pretty excited to share all that stuff with you guys out there. But you know what, guys? That's been the Kinda Funny podcast.
Hell yeah.
Going out on a very embarrassing story. Let us know in the comments below if you know how to TikTok and if you think you could do it better than Roger, because I'm all ears. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Patreon supporters out there watching live, here we go. This is for you.
This is for the audio listeners.
This is for all the audio
listeners.
I'm
going to throw a TikTok into Nick's TikTok.
Ready?
Ready?
KFF.
Or TikTok.
Oh, man, so close.
Why did it sound like a bark?
Oh, really far.
That sounded so loud.
For a second, I was like scared that it broke the LED wall. We will, of course, be back next week, everyone. But until next time, it has been our pleasure to serve you.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.